Alrighty, Shabbat Shalom, and Shabbat Shalom to everybody with us on this Erev Shabbat Bible study. I had mentioned that we would be going over not the whole book of Ezekiel, but different chapters in Ezekiel, but also kind of jumping around to some other things. And I thought a little over a week ago, the elections that just happened in Babylon, that it might be a good idea to do a Bible study. Some people have actually written me in the past and asked me about voting. You know, why don't we vote? So I thought maybe we would go over that tonight. And I'm leaving in about a week. I'm not sure yet if we will have the Bible study next Friday. I hope we do, because I'll be leaving right after that. And then taking a few weeks off. And then after that, we would start up again with Ezekiel once I return. So there are scriptures. Definitely I'm going to go over scripture. Everything is based on scripture, on why, as believers, we wouldn't vote. But what I kind of think is there's certain things in scripture that are more concepts than just a scripture. You know, like thou shalt not lie or thou shalt not steal. Those are laws, right? And it says you do something or you don't do something. Where voting is more of a concept, where once we understand the concept of it, to be honest, I don't know why any believer would want to vote or even think about voting, you know, because when we're doing this. So the first thing when people usually ask me, well, why, you know, why don't we vote? I usually say something like, if you were visiting Japan and they were having an election in Japan for prime minister or president, would you vote? And people say, well, no, I wouldn't vote. I'm not a Japanese citizen. Why would I vote there? So I think the first thing that we have to realize when we're talking about voting is we are citizens of the kingdom of Yahweh. You know, we're not citizens of this world. Philippians 3 in verse 20 says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from where we also wait for a Savior, the Master, Yeshua Messiah. So I think anybody can understand that, right? That nobody is looking, if you're a Swiss citizen, you're not going to want to go vote in Russia. Or if you're a Canadian citizen, you're not going to want to go vote in, you know, Nicaragua or somewhere else. And our citizenship is in heaven. We are citizens for the kingdom of Yahweh. So when we look at it that way, right, and also we understand who is the God of this world, you know, who is the God of this world, it's Satan, right? So this is his world. This is his society. You know, we have the purpose of man. You go back to Genesis 1. I'm not going to go there now. In Genesis 2 and Genesis 3. And we see that Adam was given, like I always say, rulership, not ownership, right, over the Garden of Eden. And his job was to expand the garden and bring in more citizens to the kingdom of Yahweh. Well, what did he do? He abdicated his position. He gave over to Satan, and Satan ruled in that position for almost 4,000 years until Yeshua came and overtook him, you know, in that. So when we're looking at it that way, we realize that this world that's in front of us, it's the world of Satan. It's not the world of, you know, this society, the system of Yahweh. So if we're part of the kingdom of Yahweh, why would we be voting in any worldly election that's on this earth? You know, because again, you know, in some places, like myself, I'm a dual citizen. I'm a citizen of United States of Babylon. And I'm also a citizen of Italy. I have dual citizenship. My grandparents were Italian. They were born there. They lived there. And I have dual citizenship. But unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, in the kingdom of Yahweh, there is no dual citizenship. You know, there is no dividing of our loyalties, right? So like if you're a dual citizen, what would happen, you know, if, you know, I'm a citizen of U.S. and a citizen of Italy, what if they went to war with each other? You know, who do you fight with? Who do you support? It's interesting because my grandfather actually went through that in World War I. that he was living in America, you know, and war came and he went back to Italy to fight for Italy because he was an Italian citizen. You know, he hadn't gotten his American citizenship yet at that time. But in the kingdom of Yahweh, there is no dual citizenship. So once we understand that, like I said, once we understand the concept, you know, that we actually do have citizenship, but we're going to see other reasons why. In the kingdom of Yahweh, which is a theocracy, right? It's Yahweh's rule from the top down. There is no voting. Voting for what? Voting for who? You know, we're going to go over some things today comparing a kingdom to a democracy, or like I like to say, demonocracy, you know. And it's kind of interesting that in the American elections, they have the Republicans, and then on the other side, they have the Democrats, or some people say demon rats. You know, like they are like democracy, demonocracy. And we're just going to see that this is not Yahweh's way. You know, Yahweh's way is never, you know, majority rule. Because actually, when you look in the world, no matter, you can go from Adam all the way up until today, almost 6,000 years, you've never had a majority of human beings on this earth that were righteous. The opposite. It's always a small number, sometimes even just one. Abraham was one person, you know, or Noah, you know, was one person. And a lot of times that's what it came down to, just even one person that was righteous. So why would Yahweh ever want us to support a majority rules? And if you look, as we're going to see, you know, getting into the difference of a democracy and a kingdom, that in a democracy, the rules can change at any time. You know, I mean, it's ironic that back in 1998, which is not that long ago, it may seem long ago to people that might be 10 or 15 years old, but, you know, for me, I remember it like yesterday. It was only 24 years now. And I remember Bill Clinton, of all people, a Democrat, a liberal, he made into law the Defense of Marriage Act, that marriage is between a man and a woman. I don't think he did it because he believed it, because we know he doesn't. He supported gay marriage after that. But that's what the majority of the people wanted at that time. And, you know, he was got reelected and he ran on this, and this is what the people wanted. But wow, 10 or 15 years later, what's going on? That, you know, President Obama makes a law and for gay marriage, that people are allowed to marry. That gets a civil right almost, gay marriage. So we see in a democracy, people will go with the flow. Things could change like anything. So Yahweh would never have that way. And the other thing is, we're not just citizens, right? Our citizenship is in heaven, from where we also wait for a Savior, the Master Yeshua Messiah, Philippians 3:20. We're not just citizens. We're ambassadors. We're actually ambassadors, you know? And I know not everybody has had the blessing that I've had in life to travel the world and meet world leaders and you know, meet other ambassadors. I met different Israeli ambassadors as I traveled in the Philippines and different places. But everywhere that I go, my mentality 100% is I'm representing the kingdom of Yahweh. So even living in Israel for almost 20 years, I was never representing Israel. I was never representing them, although I supported Israel and I support their right to exist and everything else because it's prophecy. But I was always representing the kingdom of Yahweh. I was invited close to 25 times to the Israeli Knesset, and every time I went as an ambassador for the kingdom of Yahweh. I went to the United Nations. Can you imagine the seat of the beast power, you know, that Yahweh sent me to and was invited there? But who did I go as? I went as ambassador for the kingdom of Yahweh. So like I said, maybe you haven't had those kind of doors open, but it doesn't matter. Because you know what? In the kingdom, all of us, every one of us, as an ambassador, we're going to be going all over the world. Yeshua is going to be sending us to Asia and Africa and South America and Europe and all over to these people that survive, you know, the horrible time that's coming. And we're going to be going as ambassadors of the kingdom of Yahweh, and we're going to be helping these people. But like I said, the first thing, you know, I have a whole course that, you know, I do at the Bible school on kingdom principles and ambassadorship. And one of the first things that we say is an ambassador, like, you're not in your country. You're wherever you are. You're, if you're the ambassador for the United States in, let's say, South Korea, you might be living there in South Korea for 10 years or 15 years, who knows how long you're there, but you don't become a citizen of the place you're going to serve because you're an ambassador for another country. And the reason why you're there is you're there to support the position of your given country of any issue at the time. So that's one of the first things we say, you know, as an ambassador, you never joined the country that you sent to. So even though Yahweh has human flesh on us and someone may look at their flesh and it may be the color of black or brown, and someone else may look at their flesh and it might be the color of white or whatever, but that's just human flesh that Yahweh put on us inside. No matter what the color of your skin is or your ethnicity is, we're all inside the same. We all have the spirit of Yahweh from baptism and laying on of hands. And we're all one family through the Ruach HaKodesh, through the Holy Spirit. And that family is as ambassadors for Yahweh's kingdom, we're all part of that kingdom. So I think that alone, I mean, it could almost stop the Bible study here and say, I think I proved my point. But that's only really the beginning of it, you know, that there's no dual citizenship in the kingdom. And we are already citizens of the kingdom of Yahweh, and like I said, ambassadors for his kingdom. But there's several other points I want to go over. The second point here is that I don't know if people realize if you vote and support somebody, then you're responsible for what they do. You're giving them your support. And I remember when I was younger, I always talk about this. My grandmother, she had 15 children, and I had a lot of aunts and uncles, and they'd get together every Tuesday night at my grandmother's house. And I remember, they'd always talk about politics and all this stuff. And I remember my Uncle Vito, you know, like he had a unique way of looking at things. You know, he lived in the city his whole life, and he had this very heavy city accent. And, you know, like the whole family might be looking at one politician and he was voting for the other guy. And they're like, why on earth did you vote for that guy? And he's like, yeah, what does it matter? If he doesn't do it, I'll vote him out and vote for somebody else. And that's like their attitude. Just like, who cares? Vote for anybody. And if you don't like him, just vote him out the next time. But do you realize? No, you are giving that person your pledge. You're giving him your vote. You're giving him your vote of confidence. You're supporting that person. And when you do that, you know, you're liable. Leviticus 5 and verse 1 says, when a person sins and hears the voice of swearing and he is a witness or has seen or is known, if he does not reveal it, then he shall bear his iniquity. And, you know, it really surprises me. And again, I'm not judging anybody. We're living in a really tough time. And it doesn't matter. No government in the world today cares about their people. The governments of this world, most of them are part of the one world government. We saw with COVID, every government knew what COVID did. They knew that the vaccine was a killer, and they still not only gave it to their people, they forced it on their people. So I don't care where you live today. I don't think anybody could say, oh, no, my government, my president, my prime minister, my king, whatever, really, really cares about me. It's not the world we live in. So I understand that. And I understand it's hard because you really have real bad people too. You have people that are evil that you really don't want in office there because of how evil they are. But it really surprised me in the last election a couple of years ago in the United States, where the vast majority of Christian people supported Donald Trump. And I mean, if you look at it, yes, Donald Trump's policies are much better, you know, than the policies on the Democratic side, who wants to make it into law that you could kill a child, not only abortion up to birth, but abortion up to 5 years old. Can you imagine? That's what they're talking about. That up to a baby being 5 years old, you can still kill it if you don't want it or whatever. So I know that people on the other side are bad, but how could someone who believes in the Bible support a man who's been divorced and remarried how many times, who's an adulterer, and maybe even raped one or two women, and is just a liar? I mean, he lies almost all the time, the things he says. How could people support that? You know, how can people openly say, yeah, I'm giving you my vote of confidence, when you know that person is a liar, and you know that they're going to lie about anything? So this is why the second reason if you vote, you know, for somebody, you're responsible then. You're responsible what that person does. You're responsible for the laws they make, because you are responsible, partly anyway, for putting that person in office. You know, and most people recklessly will vote for people who are liars, crooks, support evil things such as abortion, and they don't realize that voting and supporting for such a person, that they're accountable for the actions that that person that they voted for takes. So just think of somebody who, wow, was voting for someone like this last election in the U.S. A big part of it was this whole issue with abortion, because they didn't outlaw abortion in the United States. What they did was they said it's not up to the federal government to make laws, a federal law on abortion. So they cut down that case that was there from, you know, whatever it was, almost 40 or 50 years ago, I think it was. And they said, okay, every state has to make their own law on it. So it's better than having a national law that just allows it, but it's not outlawing it. But can you imagine for the people that only went out there voting for someone to be able to have the opportunity to kill a baby? Wow. You know, I wouldn't want to be that person on Judgment Day. And that's what a lot of people did, you know, particularly women that are of the world, you know. And the whole thing, right, my body, my choice, until it came to the vaccine. You didn't hear that too much during the vaccine, my body, my choice. Then all of a sudden it was, no, you take it. You take it, or you don't leave your house and you don't buy food. So a lot of them are hypocrites anyway, because it's only for the end justifies the means. It's only for what matters that day. They don't believe in anything they say. And like I said, politics is really sickening. And I've sort of, in Israel, unfortunately, there were some good people that I met and got to be friends with in the Israeli government, but there were a lot of people there that were not very good either. So that's the way of the world, you know, so be it. 1 Samuel 8 and verse 4. 1 Samuel 8 and verse 4, because you know what? This happened in ancient Israel. If you remember, in ancient Israel, what did Yahweh say? When he set up the government, how was the government in Israel supposed to be? It was supposed to be that Yahweh was supreme ruler, he was going to be the king, and that there would be a set of judges in each area that would basically not be making law, they would simply be carrying out the law of the Torah. And unfortunately, as we're going to read here, what happens, the people don't want it. They want to be like the nations. The same way Israel today, they want to be a democracy. They want to be like the nations around them. They don't want to be a theocracy. They don't want to be a nation with Yahweh from the top down. And unfortunately, it's so sad, because that's Yahweh's land, is the land of Israel. And they could be so feared, like Yahweh says, if they obeyed the Torah and they accepted Yahweh as king. But they're making the same mistake as we're going to read here. So verse 4 says, "And all the elders of Israel gathered and came to Samuel the prophet at Ramah. And they said to him, 'Behold, you have become old, and your sons have not walked in your ways. Now appoint a king to us to judge us like all the nations,'" right? They want to be like the rest of the world. "And the thing was evil in Samuel's eyes when they said, 'Give us a king to judge us.' And Samuel prayed to Yahweh. And Yahweh said to Samuel, 'Listen to the voice of the people for all they have said to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from reigning over them,'" right? So Yahweh is the king. He's the one. He's the one that parted the Red Sea. He's the one that brought the plagues on Egypt. He's the one who fought for them when they went out to battle, right? And David would say, "Do you want me to go out, or don't you want me to go out?" Yahweh was fighting for Israel. But what happens over here now? Israel doesn't want him. They've rejected him. "According to all the works that they have done from the day I brought them up out of Egypt, even to this day, when they forsook me and served other Elohim, so they are also doing to you. And now listen to their voice, only protesting. You shall protest them and shall declare to them the privilege of the king who shall reign over them," right? Is this king really going to take care of them? Is he going to be like a father to them? No, listen to what Yahweh says the king is going to do to them. "And Samuel spoke all the words of Yahweh to the people who were asking for a king. And he said, 'This is the privilege of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and shall appoint them for himself among his chariots and among his horsemen, and they shall run before his chariots. And he will appoint for himself heads of thousands and heads of fifties, and to plow his plowing, and to reap his reaping, and to make weapons for war for him, and weapons for his charioteer. And he will take your daughters for perfumers and for cooks and for bakers. And he will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, the best, and give them to his servants. Just like we saw with Ahab, remember? When he wanted the vineyard there of Naboth. And he just took it and killed them. That's the kind of kings you're going to get. And he will take your male slaves and your slave girls and the best of your young men and your donkeys, and he will use them for his own work. He will tithe your flock, and you will be servants to him. And you will cry out in that day because of the king whom you've chosen for yourself, and Yahweh will not answer you in that day. And the people refused to listen to the voice of Samuel and said, "No, but a king shall be over us. And we shall be even we like all the nations, and our king shall judge us and shall go out before us and fight our battles." So, you know, I know in the United States, the people there, they really say, like, there's never been something like this, a constitution, a government run by the people and for the people. But to be honest with you, maybe, and I don't know, I wasn't there in 1776 when this whole thing started there, but I can tell you today, it's nothing like that. The government in America is just as bad as all the other governments in the world. It's not for the people. These people are career politicians. They're bad, they're evil, they lie, they cheat. They'll say anything to stay in power, and they can care less about the people. And like I said, it's not just in America, it's everywhere in the world. But the sad part with Israel is, like I said, Yahweh is Elohim of Israel. Israel is the nation that Yahweh has been working with and will work with in the kingdom. Yeshua will have covenant relationship with all nations on earth. But right now, it's Israel. That's why when we come to faith, what do? We join the one covenant of Israel. And it's sad for me to see the people of Israel reject Yahweh. You know, 80 to 90% of the people in Israel are secular. And, you know, a part of that is because of the Orthodox. You know, I wouldn't want to be Orthodox either. But the Orthodox also do not keep the Torah. And, you know, they do not have Elohim as you know, their king. And they're in politics, believe it or not. And they're powerful in politics. Even though they don't get a lot of seats in the parliament, they're usually the kingmaker. Because there's not enough of either party to make a government alone, and they always have to use the religious, the Orthodox, and the Orthodox try to get more money and more this and more that. So it's the game that they all play. But in Samuel, we see, you know, that we shouldn't be like the world. We already have a king. We don't need a king. We don't need a president. We already have one. And the leaders, like I said, are self-serving. They're really not caring for the people. So Yahweh is a theocracy, like I said, meaning he is the supreme ruler of the universe. Democracy is simply the majority rules. And since the majority of people are non-commandment keepers in evil, democracy will always end bad. Yahweh's government is a kingdom. And I always say this, that it's a mindset you have to live in. And it's hard, because when you grow up in a democratic mindset, it's really hard to change over to a kingdom mindset. You know, it's very hard to do, but we have to do it, because certainly there is not going to be democracy in the kingdom of Yahweh. Like I said in the beginning of the Bible school, I do a whole course on this, because it's really, really important. And we have to make sure that we're having that kingdom mindset all the time. So I want to go over now some points of a difference between a kingdom and a democracy. First point, in a democracy, the people elect the leaders. Like I said, we just saw there was just an election in Babylon a week ago. And I guess, though, you know, it's kind of ironic, because in a democracy, the people are supposed to elect the leaders. You really don't have democracy there anymore anyway, because of all the cheating going on. And I think there's always been cheating, even when they go back to John F. Kennedy. He was elected in 1960. And it's a well-known fact that it was a very close election between him and Richard Nixon. And the thing that pushed him over the top was the dead vote. They had, a lot of people that were already dead that somehow cast ballots. And the mafia backed him because of his father. But that's another story. But today, you really have a lot of cheating. They have these machines that are totally rigged. And you could set the algorithms just like the internet. When you go on Google and you search something on Google, go up and look for, you know, natural cures to cancer, whatever. You're not going to find what the best natural cure is. You're going to find what they want you to know. Look up the vaccine, you know, dangers of the vaccine. And you know what they'll show you? They'll show you people that are against the vaccine that are crazy, that they'll say. So Google makes these algorithms for you not to be able to get the truth. And, you know, unfortunately, that's the way it is. And it's the same with politics. They rig these machines. They have ballot harvesting. You know, there's a movie that was made about a year ago, maybe a little longer, called 2000 Mules. It's about the 2020 election. And it shows that these people were going in the middle of the night and stuffing them, these ballot boxes. They were stuffing them with thousands of ballots. It's all on videotape. You know, and then they just deny it. They say it never happened. So that's the thing anyway. Even if you're not a believer and you say, hey, you know what? Because a lot of people say this. Maybe there's, you know, nothing's perfect in this world, but America is the best that we have. And I want to vote because I want to keep it that way. But your vote really means nothing if they're cheating. And they do. They do cheat, unfortunately. They cheat. So you really don't have democracy there. But in a democracy, people at least are supposed to elect the leader, right? Laodicean, ruled by the people. So even if there wasn't cheating, is that really the way that a believer, do you want majority rule? So think about this. I used to think about this years ago, you know, like when I first became a believer, I'm like, wow. I'm living in a state, New Jersey, where there's like 12 million people. And out of those 12 million people, there's a few hundred that are believers, you know, and even in the whole country, if you look, out of, you know, 300 million people, there was maybe 100,000 that are believers. So the believers are so minute. Do you really want to support a system where the majority that are non-believers, that are bad people, are ruling? I know I wouldn't. That to me, what good would that be? So in a democracy, the people choose, right? Laodicean, ruled by the people. But in a kingdom, the king chooses his subjects. It's the total opposite, right? John 6:44, no man can come to me unless the Father draws him. So, like I said, in a democracy, the people are supposedly choosing their leaders, but in the kingdom, Yahweh chooses you. He says that in the book of John, that Yahweh chose you and called you from the beginning, right? Number two, in a democracy, people support the government through taxes. In a kingdom, the king supplies all the needs of his subjects. So, in a democracy, if somebody is homeless or poor, what do they say? Hey, that's his fault. He can go out and get a job. You know, he deserves that way. But in a kingdom, if there was even one person, just one person, that was destitute or poor, it would be blamed on the king. Because the king supplies all the needs of all his subjects. So that's why when Yeshua said in Matthew 20, he who wants to be greatest among you, let him be your servant. That's the way it's supposed to be with elders and with deacons. The word deacon literally means servant. Deaconos is a servant. That leaders are not supposed to be there because they're the smartest or they have the most money or they're, you know, whatever. They're supposed to be there because they're serving the most. They have the greatest heart to serve. And you don't see that in a democracy. Third point of difference for a democracy and a kingdom. A democracy, anyone can join or migrate to, but a kingdom is only through lineage. Democracy, anyone can join or migrate. And today you see like in Babylon, boy, talk about migrating. Most people do it illegally. So, you know, they get like 1 million to 2 million people every single year legally coming into the country, which is great. They come there, they become a citizen. That's terrific. But you have more than that, that are illegally just coming across the border every day. There's something like 30 to 40 million people now that are just there illegally. So that's in a democracy. But in a kingdom, it's only through lineage. Galatians 3 and verse 29. Galatians 3. Verse 29. He says, and if you are of Messiah, then you are seeds of Abraham, even heirs according to the promise, right? So it's all about lineage. So unless you're a seed of Abraham, what does that mean? A literal child of him, a literal seed, a literal heir, then you can't be in the kingdom. And if you are a Messiah, then you are seeds of Abraham and heirs according to the promise. So that's why I said, when we become a believer, doesn't matter where we came from, what our background was, we get grafted in to the house of Israel. We get grafted into being a seed of Abraham, a literal child of his, and heirs according to the promise. Because remember, when you look at a kingdom like now, the Queen of England just died, whatever it was, 2 months ago now almost. And she had a lot of wealth. She had a lot of jewelry, all kinds of stuff. Not just somebody off the street's going to get that, you better believe it. She gives that. It's very specific what goes to who and how it goes, but because it all goes through lineage. And particularly the throne itself, you know, goes toward lineage. I did a Bible study on the royal family at Sukkot that I'll be showing next week. I'll be putting it up online for Shabbat, that I think you'll find very interesting when it comes to the royal family and some of the bad things that they're into. But in a kingdom, it only comes through lineage, right? It's not a right, but a privilege. So in a democracy, people want to talk about rights, and this is my right, and blah, blah, blah. I have the right under the Constitution. That's my First Amendment right. I can say whatever I want. And you see this pride and this arrogance, and people don't care how they hurt other people with their words. But in a kingdom, you realize it's a privilege. It's a privilege to be part of Yahweh's kingdom. Next point is a democracy is ruled by parliament or a congress, but a kingdom is ruled by the laws of the king. A democracy is ruled by parliament, but a kingdom is ruled by the laws of the king. Deuteronomy 10, 10 through 12. And I stayed in the mountain 40 days and 40 nights as the first time. And Yahweh listened to me that time also. Yahweh did not will to destroy you. And Yahweh said to me, rise up, go before the people, causing them to set forward, that they may go in and possess the land which I swore to them and give it to them. And now, Israel, what has Yahweh your Elohim asked of you, except to fear Yahweh your Elohim, to walk in his ways, to love him, and to serve Yahweh your Elohim with all your heart and with all your soul, to keep the commandments of Yahweh and his statutes, which I am commanding you today for your good. Right? So that's the key here. That it's not some kind of parliament or congress that's making these laws that one day it's defensive marriages with a man and a woman, and the next day a marriage is with you and your cat, you know, whatever else they want to make up. It doesn't change like that. Yahweh is forever. Yahweh is perfect. Yahweh doesn't change. Malachi 3:6. And praise Yahweh for that, because his Torah is perfect. So to me, I say it's one of the most evil and demonic things in the world. And unfortunately, it's mostly Christians who say this, that the Torah is done away with, and they hate the Torah, and it's nailed to a tree, or whatever they say. And I know they don't understand what they're talking about, but it is so evil. Because Yahweh's Torah, Yahweh's word, is part of his character. And that's why Yeshua is the living word. Because he is the character of all the laws of the Torah. He lived them perfectly as he was here on the earth. And like I said, Yahweh's laws are forever. You know, Yeshua Messiah the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8. So we see that. And the other thing that's interesting is that even in ancient times, we see that when the king would set a law, that was it. He couldn't even change his own law. We see this in the book of Esther. If we go to the book of Esther, just one verse, remember Esther? And the story that happened there, right? And the king was tricked into making the decree against the Jews and that they were going to be killed. And look what it says in Esther 8, and verse 8. He said, and you write to the Jews according to the good in your eyes in the king's name and seal it with the king's ring. For the writing which is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring, there is no taking back. So good or bad, once that king writes it, once they seal it with the signet ring, and in the city of David, they found many signet rings. And it's usually sealed with the clay and with wax. And that's it. That's the marking. Almost like today, you see they have like these metal, oh, I forget what you call them now, but you squeeze on a piece of paper and it makes like an indentation on it, and it makes a seal. You know, it's a seal. It makes a seal on that paper. And a lot of times, legally, you need that. We have one for the congregation. So if I need to do something legally on birth certificates and whatever, if it doesn't have that raised seal, it's not legal. But that's the point. Even in ancient times with nations that weren't even part of Israel, if that king sealed something, it couldn't be changed. But in a democracy, what do? You go down to city hall and you get enough people and you hold your signs and you fight and you argue and they'll change any law. You know, that's why it's so dangerous now with the kind of people that are in there to be making some of the laws that they're making are horrible. But we know that the beast system is very close to being here. And I really pray that the brethren that are hearing this, the video I sent out today, please watch it. It is really, really eye-opening and shocking how close things are, and you know what the World Economic Forum is doing. And you know, if there's ever a time where we need to understand the difference between Satan's government and the kingdom of Yahweh, it's now. Because we shouldn't be in any form, not only voting or government, we shouldn't be part of his system. We shouldn't be part of his society whatsoever because of the things going on. So again, democracy is ruled by a parliament or a congress. Kingdom is ruled by the laws of the king. Next point is a democracy. People desire freedom to rule themselves. But a kingdom, all desire to be the bondservant of the king. So that's the point of democracy, right? No, boy, people there, they, you know, this is what you get in Babylon a lot of times. People that maybe they keep the Sabbath or maybe they know the name of Yahweh. But when they come out and say, I'll never follow a man and I'll never follow. Wow, talk about that's demonocracy in the flesh. Demonocracy. Because in the kingdom mindset, right? In the kingdom mindset, just like we see in Romans 13, you know, be subject to the higher powers that are there. And even in the government, although we don't vote, we're law-abiding citizens. You know, we don't break the law. We, as long as it's not contradicting the law of Yahweh, of course, his law we have to keep first. And that's why we wouldn't take no deadly vaccine or none of these other evil things that have aborted fetal tissue in it and all the other bad things. But at the same rate, we try to be law-abiding as citizens. We try to help where we can. We try to be servants in our communities to the best of our ability. But you don't want to have that attitude, you know, of freedom and, you know, ruling myself and I'm not going to listen to anybody, right? But like I said, a kingdom, all desire is to be the bondservant of the king. John 5 and verse 30. John 5 and verse 30. Is Yeshua speaking? Look what he says. He says, I am not able to do anything of my desire, but as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, for I don't seek my will, rather the will of him who sent me. He seeks the will of the one who sent me. And like he prayed when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, Matthew 26:39, not my will be done, Father, but your will be done. And that's a kingdom principle. Because you know what? In a kingdom, when the kingdom comes, you could be sure of one thing. You're not going to be at the top. It's not going to be Yahweh, Yeshua, and you. You're over everybody. That I can guarantee you, because number one, David will be third in the kingdom. But you ain't even going to be fourth or fifth. I can guarantee you that. And you're not going to be probably the last. You know, all of us are going to be somewhere in the middle. And what does that mean? That means that there's going to be people over us that we're subservient to. And that means there's going to be people under us that we're serving. And where will Yahweh put us? He'll put us exactly in the spot where we could serve the best. So that's what we're qualifying for. We're not qualifying for ourselves to be high up somewhere. We're qualifying to be in the position where we could serve the best. But if you have this attitude of not wanting to follow any type of judicial order and this Laodicean attitude of just, you know, wanting to rule yourself and have your own little kingdom, then wow, you're useless to the kingdom. You know, there'll be no use for you because that's not a kingdom principle or where the kingdom is. So This is an important point that we have to understand. The sixth point is that democracy rules are all man-made and flawed. Man has become an end to himself, whereas in a kingdom, all focus goes on the king and in his edicts. So it's interesting, you know, because people talk about the U.S. Constitution, and hey, if people like it and it works for them, that's their business. But, you know, when I'm thinking in a kingdom mindset, I think, how does the Constitution of the United States start? We the people. We the people. What's wrong with that statement? If you're starting something, does the Torah start out with we the people? Or does it say, thus says Elohim? You know? So that's the whole point of it. We the people is never going to end in a good situation if you have a kingdom mindset. You know, it's got to be thus says Yahweh. That's the kingdom mindset. And we the people will always eventually lead into secular humanism, exactly what happened in the U.S., where man will believe he could solve all his own problems by himself without the help of Elohim. And when you listen to this Klaus Schwab's advisor, that Yuval Harari, wow, and this guy is an Israeli, you know, fairly young man, seems to be, but this guy's an atheist, you know, to begin with. And he talks about him becoming a G.O.D. and these elites having a ruling class where they'll live forever and the other people just die out and there won't be other humans because they're useless eaters. It's like, man, what kind of sick Hitler type, you know, speaking is that? But it's just that's the kind of people that are running this world. And that's why I say that we the people will always lead to secular humanism, where man will believe he could become his own Elohim. Democracy is basically man's elevation of himself to become his own Elohim. So it's not going to work. Number seven, the last point I'm going to go over here, as far as the difference between a democracy and a kingdom. In a democracy, there is private ownership of property. In a kingdom, the king owns everything. So, you know, it's kind of ironic, though, because if you look at the World Economic Forum, and Klaus Schwab, he wrote the book, The Great Reset, that, you know, they created the whole COVID issue to bring in this change, this reset, this fourth industrial revolution. But the big thing that he says is, you will own nothing and be happy. You know, which is kind of interesting, because that's actually probably the only true thing he ever said. Because in the kingdom, we will own nothing and be happy. You know why? Because you don't need anything. Because in the kingdom, like I said, Yahweh provides every need. And it's amazing. When we were doing the school in Israel, one of the things I used to love is when we would have kibbutz day, that we would take the students to a kibbutz over there, you know, a community. Because for people that never lived in community, they didn't really understand, how does this thing work? You know, like, okay, well, if nobody owns anything, what happens when I need a car for work? And it's like, come over here. You see that parking lot? How many cars are there? I don't know, 200. Well, you need a car, you just go and take one. You know, so it's, that's the way the community works, that you don't own anything because you don't need anything. Whatever you need is supplied to you. And that's the way the kingdom of Yahweh will be. Because Yahweh owns everything. You know, Psalm 24, the earth is Yahweh's, the fullness thereof, and the people, and those who dwell in it. So Yahweh owns everything, but not for himself. He owns everything to share and for the betterment of all the people. So we don't need to own anything in the kingdom. So although maybe unwittingly Klaus Schwab said something that was correct, but it's not according to his kingdom, because in his order, you know, in his great reset, people are going to be miserable if they survive, you know, and he's the guy that's going to own everything. So that kingdom won't work. But what happens? We know that Satan, who is really the architect of this, Satan is the great deceiver and the great counterfeiter. So everything that Yahweh has, including the kingdom of Yahweh, he's going to counterfeit, but in a way that is not good, in a way that people won't be happy. Because nobody's going to be happy in that system where you have a, you know, a small number of so-called royal elites that own everything in the world and all the world resources. And basically, they want people to eat shmeat, you know, fake meat and bugs. They actually literally say this, you know. And if you're watching in the United States, which is the breadbasket of the world, and they bring a lot of the world wheat and all the other things. Look who's buying a large portion of the U.S. farmland. China and Bill Gates. Put those two together and what do you got? You got COVID. So that's not something that's going to be good for Americans and not something that's going to be good for the world when you have this. But this is why a democracy, this is where it leads to. But in a democracy, there's private ownership of property. In a kingdom, the king owns everything. And again, like I said, you don't need to own anything because everything is provided for you, whatever you need. And we need to have that mindset. You know, the Apostle Paul said in Corinthians that you use but you don't possess. You know, and like I said, Yahweh gave us rulership over the earth, not ownership. And as long as you got that principle, he blesses us and he blesses with things, and you don't have to feel guilty if he's blessing you with mammon or a house or, you know, a good job or whatever. Just use it for the kingdom. That's all. You always, the Yahweh's economy is you always give back. And that's why in the worldly sense, you can't figure it out. But in a spiritual sense, it always works out that way. So this is the reason why we don't vote, right? Because our kingdom is not of this world. Yeshua said that in John 18:36. Remember when he was before Pontius Pilate? And maybe I'll just read that scripture. John 18:36. Yeshua answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have fought that I might not be delivered up to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." So very clearly, our kingdom is the kingdom of Yahweh. It's the coming kingdom. So wherever we are, wherever we're living, wherever Yahweh puts us as ambassadors at the time, we're just there to do what? To bear fruit and multiply. To further the kingdom of Yahweh every day of our life. And when Yeshua comes and sets up the kingdom in Jerusalem, and then ultimately to all the earth, we will be with him and we will be the ambassadors of him from Jerusalem and going throughout all the work. So this is something where you have to get this kingdom mindset. You have to get it ingrained in your mentality. You have to think. You shouldn't even have to think. It should be automatic. But you have to get the Babylonian democratic mindset out, or you're not going to be a good kingdom worker. You're going to be useless for the kingdom. So our job is to recruit citizens for the kingdom we represent. Our promise of inheritance is the earth, not heaven. And we've been given rulership, not ownership. Yeshua had one message, one purpose, to restore the kingdom of Yahweh, and his ambassadors should also. And remember, we are ambassadors for that kingdom now. It's not something for the future. It's now, every day, we should be. Like I said, we need to have a ministry. We need to be working. We need to be bearing fruit, because that's what you're going to be rewarded on when the kingdom comes. You know, not on how many A's or B's you got in math and in science, but it's going to be on how much fruit you bore for the kingdom of Yahweh. So the last point that I just want to go over very quickly on also why we would not vote in elections is because ultimately Yahweh allows whoever he allows into office. Anyway, Daniel 4:17 says, "This matter is by the decree of the guarding cherubs, and the command by the word of the holy ones, so that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he will. And he sets up over it the lowest of men." Well, wow. We're living in a time that we could see that. You look around the world and these leaders really are about the lowest as you can get, but they think they're royalty. But anyway, Yahweh's in control. And for his purpose and for his plan, he'll let different people come in at different times. And I fully believe that in 2016 that Yahweh allowed President Trump to get in there to change the economy and give the people one more chance. You know, the 7 good years that we had before these 7 bad years that are upon us now are coming. So I don't have to vote for somebody, because you know what? I might vote for the wrong person. You know, I don't know whether he would... Wow, you got to choose between those two people, Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. You know, I can't even think about it. I wouldn't want to support either of them. So the better thing to do is just let Yahweh. Yahweh rules, and Yahweh will allow in whoever he wants to allow in. And for the people that are part of that world and they're part of that system, let them do it, you know. So it's not a sin for them because they're not part of the kingdom of Yahweh. And if they're part of that kingdom and they want to try to vote, or even some of them want to run for election or whatever, so be it. But for us, we already have a kingdom. We already have a king. And our kingdom is perfect. So whenever they're talking about, well, you know, America may not be the best in the world, but it's the best that we have. Oh, wow, do we have an answer for them. If that's the best you have, you might as well slit your throat, right? Like the Bible says, you know, if there's no kingdom, then eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we all die. But there is a kingdom. And that kingdom is so much better. It's a zillion times better than any government that's on the earth today, including the United States. So that's the hope we want to bring. We want to bring the hope of the kingdom of Yahweh. We want to share with people how they can be part of that kingdom and how they could be part of that government and how they can also be ambassadors for Yahweh. And that's our hope. That's what we do every day. And we look forward to it, to the day where, as ambassador, right, there's always a day that ambassador is called home. You do your job, and like I said, it could be a year or two, it could be a decade. But the day will come sooner or later where the ambassador is called home and he gets to come back home to his home country. And that's what we look for. We look forward to the day where Yeshua is going to call us home to Jerusalem, and we will be with him there forever in the kingdom of Yahweh. So I pray that this study helps anybody that may have not been sure, you know, why if we wouldn't vote or why we wouldn't be involved in politics. But I think it's pretty clear, you know, that when you look at all the things I went over today, there's no dual citizenship in the kingdom of Yahweh. And that's where our citizenship lies. So Yahweh bless. Until next time, Shabbat Shalom.